Good morning. Today we're going to learn the second sicha of Chelek Yud Gimel Parashas Nosoi, which is a sicha on Rashi. Going to do it a little differently to how we normally do it. Usually we look at the Rashi inside and we analyze the various questions and answers without reading the actual text. We're going to do it a little differently this week because the sicha is particularly short and it's actually easier to do it this way using the original text. So if you have the book, it is page 20 in volume 13, Chelek Yud Gimel of Nosoi. Says the Rebbe, "Bepasuk uvavoy Moshe goymer ledaber itoy goymer." It's describing at this point when Moshe would go into what was called the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, otherwise known as the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and he would have engagement with Hashem. So the Torah says, when Moshe would come ledaber itoy, to speak to Hashem, Vayishma es hakol midaber, listen carefully to this. Vayishma es hakol midaber elav, he would hear the voice being spoken to him, goimer, etc. Vayidaber elav, and Hashem would speak to him. For Rashi, Rashi says, Vayidaber elav, that Hashem would speak to him, lemayit Aaron min adibrois, that this is intended to exclude his brother Aaron, that his brother Aaron was not part of the Dibrois. Quite hectic, right? So as far as Rashi is concerned, the whole reason that it says that Hashem spoke to Moshe was that we shouldn't think that Hashem spoke to his brother Aaron. Kavonas Rashi bepashto, see, it would seem quite simply that what drives Rashi to make this comment in the first place? Hatevois vaydaber elav hem yutorois lichaora, because at first glance it would seem that those words, vaydaber elav, that Hashem spoke to him, seem to be extra words. Why do you have to say that? Ki kvar nemar lifnei ze vayishma es hakol midaber elav, because we already saw earlier on, a few words earlier, that it says, and he heard the voice as it was made to speak to him. So it seems like it's just using the same expression twice. Midaber elav, the words are being said to him, Vayidaber elav, and he spoke to him. So that's probably what seems to drive Rashi over here. Why the repetition? V'lochem meforesh shehakeifa shehichbil hakosav hadgesh adibur hoyo elav el Moshe dafko ulamayit armen adibur. So therefore Rashi picks up on it and he says, besides the fact that in the first part it told us that Hashem communicated with Moshe, the Torah then emphasizes further, vayidaber elav, that Hashem spoke only to Moshe. So the first part is that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and the second is that Hashem spoke only to Moshe. L'achrei shepirush Rashi zatevis vaydaber elav. Now following that, Rashi then, the next part that Rashi explains, matiku es atevis vayishma es hakol. Rashi then quotes three words. Three words. Vayishma es hakol. And Moshe heard the voice. And what does Rashi say? Umeforish. Yochol koil nomuch. You might think that the voice that he heard was a quiet voice. Talmud loimar es ha koil. Therefore the Torah says, no, Vayishma, what did he hear? Ha, the voice. That means the voice that you already know from before. The voice that you've already heard previously. Which voice have you heard previously? Hu ha kol shenid barimoy besinai ukshemagia lepesach hoyenifsek velo yoyotzechutz lo'oyel. So Rashi says it was that great powerful voice that he had already heard at Mount Sinai. The voice of Hashem speaking at the great revelation of Mount Sinai that we will commemorate this week during the holiday of Shavuot. That powerful reverberating voice, that's what Moshe heard when Hashem spoke to him from Ohel Moed. But the voice only went to the door and stopped at the door so nobody beyond the door could hear it. Okay, so what has Rashi told us? Two things. Vaydaber elav, that Hashem only spoke to Moshe, not to Aaron. Number two, Vayishma es hakol, you might have thought that Hashem was speaking softly. He wasn't. He was speaking with the full force of his divine voice. And nevertheless, miraculously, the sound of that voice stopped as it reached the door. So Rashi is picking up. It would appear that Rashi is picking up over the ha kol. Ha means the definite article. Whenever I use that expression, it means something. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I say the voice. Oh, that voice. So in other words, it's a voice we are already familiar with from somewhere else before. Hainu hakol shenidbar Moshe b'Sinai. Which voice do we know that Hashem used in communication with Moshe before? The voice at Mount Sinai, because the Torah specifically says there in five times, kol, voice. And obviously that was a very loud sound because everybody heard it. There were 600,000 Jews plus all the women and children. So that's a lot of people in order for them to have heard Hashem's voice. It obviously, logically, was a very loud sound. And that's what he's saying. It's hakol, it's that loud voice. That same, it's not some kind of quiet, secretive whispering between Hashem and Moshe. It's that powerful voice that was heard right across the world. And that, Rashi says, stopped abruptly as it got to the entrance of Ohel Moed and nobody else could hear it. So we're going to ask four questions on these two Rashis. Number one, V'tzorech lo havin aleph. V'akosev ne'emar v'yishma yisakol v'achar kach midabei lo v'yidabei lo v'loma m'shane Rashi v'seydeh pirushay ha'tevus v'mefarish midabei v'yidabei lo v'koydem li pirushay v'yishma yisakol. First question, very simple, very obvious question. If you look at the order of the words in the verse, Vayishma Sakol, where it says that Moshe heard the voice, those words come first. Then later you have the words Vayidaber Elav, that Hashem spoke to him, only to Moshe. Rashi first explains the end of the verse, Vayidaber Elav, that Hashem spoke to him, and only after that does he go back to explain Vayishma Sakol, which voice it was. Why does Rashi switch around the order? It's most unusual for Rashi to do that. Question number two. Mizeh shekosav Rashi yochol koil namuch mashma shasvora achitzonis hi shakoil hoyo namuch. The fact that Rashi had to say to us it was not a quiet sound implies that you would have thought it is a quiet sound. That's why he has to address it. So ubah kosav leidenu shakol shenid b'ayim b'sinai v'lcha'ir meichet teisi loyma shakol hoyo namuch. So the obvious question there is, why does Rashi feel that you might have believed that it was a quiet sound? I mean, Hashem could speak at a normal tone and that would have been good enough. Why is Rashi supposing that we would have imagined that it is dafka, a quiet voice, and therefore he has to come to tell us, no, it's not a quiet voice, it's actually a very loud voice. Why? Why is that even an issue? Question number three. Bichtei liyashet ma shenema esakol behei hayidia. Question number three. Okay, so you think for whatever reason that Hashem was speaking very softly. So Rashi says, let's be clear. Ha koil. The voice means the voice that you already know from before, the voice from Sinai, very powerful voice. Okay, so now we know that Hashem is speaking loudly. So why do you have to tell me that the sound stopped abruptly at the entrance? Why is that relevant to the story? And question four, Lama Matik Rashi Gam Tevis Vayishma Es Hakol Barichol Laribol Levoy El Tevas Hakol. Question number four is one of the things that we know about Rashi from our previous studies is that Rashi will only use words in the headline if he plans to explain those words. Now over here, Hakol, the voice, that's what he's trying to explain. Which voice, which sound? What happened? Why does he have to include in the heading Vayishma Es, and he hurts? Okay, so four questions. Number one, why does Rashi interpret the verse out of order? He inverts the order of the phrases in the verse. Question number two, why would you have imagined that Hashem was speaking quietly, that Rashi had to dafka point out that the Torah wants us to know it's a loud voice? Question number three, if it is a loud voice, why does it stop at the door? And question number four, why does Rashi include the words Vayishma Es in the headline where apparently he's only looking to explain the word Hakol, the voice? Now, what's interesting about this is, under ordinary circumstances, when the Rebbe analyzes a Rashi, there's a lot of going back and forth and suggestions and rejections of those suggestions and proofs and so on. This is relatively straightforward. V'habir b'chol zeh. Explanation is, L'acharei she'Rashi meforesh she'ha'tevus v'yidaber elav bo lomar et arim min ha'dibrois. Once Rashi points out to us that v'yidaber elav means that Hashem spoke only to Moshe and deliberately not to Aaron, which implies that Aaron might have been present. He might have been standing in the same area, perhaps even right next to Moshe. But the Torah makes it clear that he did not hear the message. That gets you thinking differently. One second. Moshe and Aaron are standing close by, perhaps even side by side. Moshe hears the message. Aaron hears nothing. How does that happen? So you would think the most logical explanation is Hashem spoke softly. If he spoke, just like if you were addressing two people and then suddenly you wanted to say something to the one person without the other hearing, what would you do? You'd drop your voice. So the implication that Moshe has pointed out that Aaron does not hear straight away leads us to think, oh, so Hashem was speaking quietly. It was like a secret message just to Moshe. One thing we do know about Moshe is that he did have strength beyond the normal. That's why when he meets up with his future wife, Zipporah, in Midian, when he had run away from Pharaoh because Pharaoh wanted to kill him, and he lands up in Midian and he gets there, and there's this altercation between all the other shepherds and these girls who had come to draw water because their father was persona non grata, because he had rejected idolatry. And Moshe stands up and he defends them against a bunch of people. No problem. That tells you that Moshe's physical abilities were beyond the normal. So you can surmise that his physical hearing was probably better than most people, and certainly better than his brother Aaron. And so it was possible for him to hear something that his brother right next to him would not have heard. If you've ever listened, you know, sometimes people have that high-pitched dog whistle. So they say when you get to a certain age, you can't hear certain frequencies anymore. At one point, there was even a ringtone for cell phones that was at a pitch that people over a certain age could not hear, and it drove teachers crazy that kids were getting messages in the middle of classes in the early days of cell phones. I don't think they allow them in classrooms. I certainly hope not. And the teacher wouldn't hear the phone ring or hear the messages going back and forth between the class, and obviously these kids were on their phones. So it's possible that there's a frequency Moshe could hear that Aaron could not hear, and even though they were standing right next to each other, Moshe got the message and Aaron didn't. So that's where, after Rashi has pointed out that Moshe is the only person who heard the message to the exclusion of Aaron, then he suddenly says, aha, now you're thinking, I know what you're thinking now. You're thinking Hashem spoke softly. So let's address that. And that explains, by the way, why he includes in his headline the words Vayishma, because you would think it's all about Moshe's hearing. That's what you'd think. You'd read the Pasuk, see that Aaron is excluded, see that the Torah says Vayishma es hakol, he heard the voice, and you would conclude, ah, that's because of his hearing, not because of something that Hashem necessarily did. So you would have thought that the reason Moshe heard and not Aaron is because only Moshe could hear, and Aaron could not hear. That's what you would have thought. So that's why Rashi immediately says, you would think it's a soft voice. So dafka, once we've clarified that Aaron is not going to hear what's being said, that's where we have to tackle the issue. So how loud was Hashem speaking if Aaron couldn't hear it? It's specifically at that point where you would have begun to imagine that the voice, the sound was very low, and that's why Aaron didn't hear it. So therefore, Rashi tackles that and he tells us, no, Talmud loymer es hakol, hu akol shenidbari moy besina shebevada yokol godul kanal, that dafke, it was the loud voice of Sinai, and the fact that Moshe only heard and Aaron did not hear is for a different reason, not because of the volume. When we came in Shekain, well, then the obvious next option is, if physically Aaron should have heard the sound and he did not hear the sound, must be because something supernatural happened. Must be. Something supernatural happened. And what's the supernatural thing? That's exactly what the Torah wants to tell us, that Hashem intervened in the natural course. He used a booming voice that Aaron should have heard, and nevertheless, Vayishma, only Moshe heard it. Why? Well, we don't know at this point exactly what the technology was, but we know the fact. It's a powerful, booming, godly voice, and only Moshe hears it. Something unusual is happening. Omnam lefize tisor hashaylo. So now, straight away, at this point, you should have a big question. You should have a big question. If you had told me that it was a quiet voice, or maybe not a quiet voice, an ordinary voice, then I can understand why the Torah said specifically Moshe has to go into that space, into the holy environment of the tent of meeting, the so-called sanctuary. Why did he have to go there? Because if he was too far away, he would never have heard, because Hashem's using a low voice. If Hashem's using a loud voice, Moshe could be anywhere and he could hear it. It's a loud voice. And the same miracle that Hashem used inside the holy area to make sure that Moshe would hear it, but Aaron, his brother, standing a couple of feet away from him, would not hear it, same miracle could have applied anywhere. So Hashem's using his booming voice. Moshe could be at home, or he could be on the other end of the Israelite camp. He could hear Hashem's voice, and nobody else would hear it, because the same sound-canceling technology that Hashem used on Aaron, he could have used on everybody. Why does Moshe have to go into the ark? Into the temple. Why does Moshe have to enter the sanctuary before he can hear Hashem's voice? And now that Rashi has raised the point that this is the same sound, the same voice as at Sinai. Now he's got to address the question, so why does Moshe have to be in a specific location in order to hear it? Mamshich Rashi. So therefore Rashi continues to tell us, that the way Hashem calibrated this particular voice, this particular sound, is that it could not be heard beyond the doorway of the Oyhel Moyed, of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. Zoysa Meres, Shemitzad Teva, Hakoylo Yefsha Shiyanish Megamichotzoyel Moyed. That means that if the laws of nature were in play, the sound that Hashem broadcast with could have been heard by Moshe anywhere. It was so powerful. Just as the Jews heard the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, no matter how distant they were, that went back a distance of 12 mil, which is a significant distance, approximately 12 kilometers, and they all heard Hashem's voice. And that camp got no bigger at this point. It was pretty much the same area. So Moshe could have heard Hashem's voice anywhere if things were to follow the natural course. In other words, the natural course meaning loud voices can be heard far away. So Hashem made another miracle. So there's two major miracles happening over here. Miracle number one is that Moshe and Aaron could stand next to each other, and Hashem would speak in a booming voice, and Aaron would not hear one word. That's a miracle. The second miracle is that Hashem speaks in this incredible godly voice, and nevertheless he makes it stop at a certain point. It doesn't go beyond that. I mean, it's impossible to imagine, like this booming sound, and then literally a centimeter later, you don't hear a thing. So that's what Rashi wants to convey to us. Firstly, it's clear that Hashem only spoke to Moshe, not to Aaron, even if Aaron was there. That would lead you to believe that Hashem spoke softly, therefore he says, Hakol, that same voice, the voice you already know from Sinai, the voice that is so powerful, that's the voice that Hashem used. If it's the voice that Hashem used, why did Moshe have to go there in order to hear it? He could hear it anywhere, because the miracle that Hashem designed was that that sound should not travel one iota beyond the entrance to the Mishkan. Okay, so what does that teach us? Miyeno shel Torah shebepirush Rashi. Firstly, let's look, what is there beyond just the mechanics of the sound of Hashem's voice? The truth is that the whole story needs to be explained. We've defined that this is a very loud voice. And therefore we've defined that according to the rules of nature, the sound should have traveled far beyond the walls of the Mishkan. So lama nifsak mishigiela kishigiela pesach mshunkach huskak moishe lova lo moi ledaberitoi. So the question, yes, Hashem did a miracle. You're right. He did a miracle and he stopped the sound traveling beyond a certain point. Why? Why the miracle? Hashem does not do miracles just so. He doesn't do miracles to illustrate us how powerful he is. Every miracle has a purpose. Especially this miracle. It seems like a negative miracle. A miracle to stop the sound, to stop the revelation, to stop connection between Hashem and everybody else. Why? Why? Why do we need this? In order to really understand this, we have to dig a little deeper and understand things from the perspective of what we call Pnimius HaTorah, the more esoteric, the deeper, the more spiritual perspective that Torah offers us. The first point of departure for us, where we're going to start to analyze and understand and appreciate what's going on over here, is the fact that Rashi Dafka emphasizes this is the sound of Sinai. The sound of Sinai. What does that mean? But kol shenit barimoy b'sinai matzino gam ken inyan shel hefsek. If you go back to the story of the giving of the Torah, you will also discover that there was something very unusual about the sound at the time, and also the fact that the sound stopped at a certain point. Ela shehefsek zeh hayoloy b'makoyim k'may b'kol shebemishkan ela bizman. Here we're talking about where there is a space barrier. The sound travels till here and not beyond. So till the end of the Mishkan and not beyond. In the story of the giving of the Torah, the revelation at Sinai, the sound traveled till a certain time and not beyond the time. It's a different barrier. It's a barrier of time. So they had to blow a big shofar. And when the shofar blast ended, that was supposed to be the sign that the divine presence would now leave. And the massive sound of Hashem's voice and communication that the Jews had experienced at Sinai would now stop. So the fact that Moshe associates this very powerful sound that Moshe would hear in the Mishkan, the fact that Rashi associates that with the sound at Sinai already gives you a clue. It's very powerful, but it has limits that Hashem has imposed on it. Back then, the limit was time-wise. It's not going to go late. It's not going to run after a certain time. Here, the limit is space-wise. It's not going to go past a certain point. Ocheshem shetam afsokas akol dematan teru bizman muvan hu. So we have to think philosophically, why does Hashem want that sound to stop? It's such a magnificent thing. If you were standing at Mount Sinai, it was mind-blowing. It was the most inspiring thing that anybody could have ever experienced. The whole world was stilled. Why would Hashem want that to stop? Well, actually, for a reason that is fundamental to the whole of Judaism. You and I are only relevant when that voice stops. As long as Hashem is booming, as long as the revelation is so intense, as long as it is obvious what is right and wrong, we have no value. Our entire value is built on choice, the capacity for choice. And where things are obvious, there are no choices. So when Hashem is speaking so loudly, you can't choose not to listen. And then there's no purpose. Why did the sound at Sinai end so that we could then take that information and run with it and live with it and try and apply it and have the challenge of some days not doing what we should and other days being distracted and other days making bad choices? Because that's where our value lies. So the same kind of message is what happened with Moshe when this voice of Hashem, which was so immensely powerful, spoke to him and communicated whatever mitzvahs, whatever messages it was that the Jewish people needed to hear at that particular point in time, the message is powerful, but the power stops at the door. Otherwise, there's no point. The power has to stop at the door. The message goes beyond the door, but the power has to stop at the door. Otherwise, we would just be zombified. We'd all just be following this incredible inspiration, and we would have no value because we would have made no choices and we would have fought no battles and we would have achieved nothing. Ilu haya koiloi v'diburish HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimshach bo'olam b'kfius v'tmidus. If Hashem's voice could pervade our world and be a constant accompaniment to our lives, then the whole world would have been one sanctuary, one big holy environment with everybody just simply doing as they are meant to do and achieving nothing of their own accord. We would just be drawn along by the inspiration. And that's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem's intention for creation was that he should be made to feel at home in the lowest realms. Not to feel at home in a Mishkan that's built in a pristine environment and everything's holy and great, wonderful. But that's not the point. The point is, what are you going to do in your home? What are you going to do in your office? What are you going to do in your vehicle when you drive? What are you going to do in your space? That's where life happens. That's where Judaism is realized. What Hashem wanted was that there should be places, and in fact, the majority of the world should be places that are devoid of His holiness. Places that are naturally not inspiring, that are not aware. And then people in those places who could make choices. Sometimes it'll be bad choices. But only if you have the ability to make a bad choice is there real value in making a good choice. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want to be in our face. He doesn't want to overwhelm us. He doesn't want to force our hand. He wants us to find our way on our own. So that powerful voice of God has to stop before it hits us in our personal space. And because it stops, our personal space suddenly becomes an environment of value, a place of promise, a place of opportunity, and most importantly, a place of achievement. So this is a lesson. No person should say, listen, I've got the holy part of my own life. You know, I've got the shul moments. I've got the times where I study Torah. I've got the holy environment that I hang out in. That's where my Judaism is going to happen. That's where my holiness is going to be. That's where I'm going to be connected. I'm going to be connected in the places that are predisposed to that kind of connection. What do I have to get involved with the rest of the world? Why do I have to deal with my dark side? Why do I have to tackle my temptations, my weaknesses? Why do I have to be involved in a world that is materialistic? I don't need it. God in holy places is good enough for me. I'm going to lock myself in a yeshiva and live there for the rest of my life. The lesson of this story is that even though every one of us has a spark of Moshe inside of ourselves, our primary area of focus is not inside the little, pristine, holy spot of our own soul or pristine, holy spot of our prayers. That's not where the real achievement is. The goal of Judaism is to say, to share, to teach the message we heard in the Ohel Moed that was so compelling, that was so inspiring, that was so brilliant. The goal is step out of that, step out of the holy environment, step down from the inspiring experience that you had, step out of your meditative davening, and now go and make a difference to the world. That's the goal of being Jewish. And it's for that reason that Hashem says, I'm going to invest huge power, my voice, the voice that can change the world. I'm going to invest it. I'm going to give it to you. But the voice is not going to accompany you where you go. You have to become the voice yourself. You have to translate that power and that message into your daily life. That is the purpose. And that is what actually brings Mashiach.